My doctor cleared me yesterday for cute shoes.
Good.
So that was one of the main benefits of my appointment, since he did nothing else for me, is I was like, okay, so the really important question is, can I wear heels?
Yeah, the
He
important
started
question was
laughing.
not, is my toe broken? Is it
Right.
healing? Will I still be able to walk when I'm 80? The important question was,
Yep.
can I wear cute shoes this weekend?
That was essential.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a class on priorities taught by Amy Carroll.
He totally cracked up and then he goes, "You can." I said, "So I will not re-injure my toe." He goes, "No, if it's sore, take some Advil." I'm like, "That is my kind of answer."
Talking about feet and toes and shoes is a perfect way to get into our topic of walk it out, don't you think?
It's like I planned it.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Tricia Goyer, author of Walk It Out.
And we totally did not plan that intro
We
at
did
all.
not. In fact, we didn't even have notes. Sherry, we did it. We've arrived. Woohoo! Spontaneity.
Yes, we're feeling spontaneous. And I don't even remember what movie that's from, but I know it's from a kid's movie because those are the only ones I can quote.
It.
We've broken up from perfect. Let me take a bite of my sandwich. You start
Oh,
talking.
okay. Let's see. What are we talking about today? Here we go. So there was just so much I loved about Trisha. She's really the coolest girl.
I'm going to interrupt and confess something.
Yes.
I liked her way more than I wanted to. I was like, I'm hoping that she turns out to be dislikable so I don't have to actually pay attention to her book. And she is so real and genuine and likable. I'm like, darn it.
That is really, really funny. See, I had no preconceptions about that. So I just like that she turned up with her hair uncombed. That was
Yes.
great. But one of the things that just really struck me was the power of telling your story. That came out just all through the interview with her. And it was fascinating to me that she started as a fiction writer, or maybe
Yeah.
she still is a fiction writer. And so story is really, really important to her. And then she, in this book, is telling her story. And I think that anytime that we tell our story, that increases our confidence in our calling. I remember back in college, I was part of a church that was really evangelistic. And so at Carolina, where I went to school, there's this place where it's the student union and the library and the cafeteria. And in the center is a dug down place, and it's called the pit. And so people hang out around the pit all the time. And there are pit preachers that come. Most of them were hellfire and damnation kind of guys. Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, pretty ineffective on a college campus to be yelling whoremongers at a bunch of college students.
Sinners in the hands of an angry God.
Not sure anybody learned about Jesus through that, but my little group decided we were going to share our testimonies in the pit one day. So I just remember I was so scared. You know, I'd never, I don't, well, not very rarely stood up and spoken in front of people before, but they just encouraged us, our pastors, just get out there and tell your story. And so I got out there and told my story. And, you know, I have no idea if it was good, not good, whatever. It didn't matter. When I walked away, I felt this sense of power and freedom and confidence that still sticks in my memory to this day. And I just think there's such power in our stories and telling our stories instead of hiding them. You
Ooh.
got her to talk about how she hid her stories. Talk about hidden stories a little bit.
Well, I'll get to that. What I want to
Okay.
talk about is testimonies, because I spoke for a retreat this last weekend and I shared just a little bit from a moment from being in the eating disorder unit all those years ago. And of course, I shared a lot of other personal stories and got to the end of the weekend and a woman said to me, you really ought to consider sharing your testimony when you speak. And I've been thinking about it ever since because part of me was like, I thought I kind of did. What does it mean to you to share your testimony? This is a question I've been wanting to ask because I kind of thought I knew what it meant, but maybe it means different things to different people.
Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I've actually just a couple weekends ago got to share again just a message that I wrote for a group one other time about how to share your story in your everyday life. Hmm. I think some people think, well, telling your testimony is just like telling, well, on the day I was born, it was snowing outside and Lord have mercy on us all. Like, I don't really want to hear that kind of testimony, to be quite honest with you. Just a little disclaimer if I'm ever sitting in your audience, listeners. But what I encourage people to do is to think about how God is showing himself in your everyday life and just tell people about it. One of the books that I read in college during that time was a book called Out of the Salt Shaker by Rebecca Pippert.
Yes! I have a copy on my shelf. Yes. Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World.
Yes, yes, yes. And so what's her last name, Sherry?
Rebecca Manley Pippert.
Manley Pippert. Okay, so everybody should go buy it. It's actually been re-released just several years ago, a new edition of it.
Okay, so we'll list it in the show notes.
It is one of those classic, amazing books about how to share your faith. She just puts the cookies on the bottom shelf, so I love it. But one of the things she talks about is being consistent in our lives. And this really spoke to me because at church, I'm the church girl, and I talk like the church girl. Mm. And in my neighborhood, I'm just Amy, and I talk like just Amy. Well, she challenges that. And she said, we should speak consistently no matter where we are. Mm. And so I thought, oh, well, that means that I should dial it back a little at church, not to impress people. And then it means that I should bring my faith, which is the core of me, the stories of what God is doing, into my everyday life when I'm walking with my neighbor or, you know, having conversation with the baristas, they're making my coffee or whatever, like to take every opportunity just to share a story and to shine the spotlight on Jesus as the hero, like make myself vulnerable and tell about a struggle that I'm having and tell how God met me there. So to me, you can tell your testimony in 5 minutes. In fact, most people would prefer for us to tell our testimony. So there you go.
I love what you just said about making it natural. I know for me, I find myself halting and trying to figure out exactly what language to use. And that sounds like a pre-decision I need to make. Like, I need to decide, am I going to say I'm feeling blessed or it was a miracle? Or am I going to say it was great luck? Or am I going to say God really met me here? I mean, that decision needs to be made in my own heart, in my quiet time before I ever leave the house, because I love that. I need to use the same words that I would use at church as I would with the barista at Starbucks. And I need to know what words those are. And they need to be comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I get halting when I'm like, which word should I use right now? And I hope that's a common struggle, that I'm not alone in all this. But it sounds like something I need to wrestle out. I need to process it, make some decisions, and then walk them out.
The thing about language that's so funny is I think that when we find that language, that was such a good point because it's true. And we're being our most authentic self. In religious settings, we will be considered unspiritual. Mm-hmm. And in secular settings, will be considered overly spiritual. Yeah. It's just so funny.
Yeah.
It seems like when you're authentic, you don't fit anywhere, but that's probably a whole different subject.
And so the important thing here is that I be true to myself. Mm-hmm. That's what I haven't quite yet figured out. I love this challenge to get it figured out, not perfectly, but to figure it out for myself with the realization I'm not going to please everyone. I'm not going to make everyone happy, but as long as I'm comfortable and I know that this is what God is leading me to do and say, because that's the source of my discomfort, is I feel like I'm not being faithful. I'm not being authentic in any of the situations. I'm laying it on a little thick in some situations and I'm taking the light approach in others.
Well, that really segues into the other big topic that she addressed, which is what does obedience look like? What does it look like to walk it out? How did you feel about that?
I got this huge aha, and this is a direct line from her book. Our greatest moments of wholeness are actually when we're sharing our weaknesses. I'm going to read it again, personalized, and to our listeners. Just listen to this and say this out loud to yourself. My greatest moments of wholeness are when I'm sharing my weaknesses. That just blows your mind. As recovering perfectionists and people pleasers, we think wholeness means perfect. And how can wholeness and brokenness go together except in our weakness, God is strong?
Okay, I'm about to bounce out of my seat now because this is like one of my heart messages about this perfection and wholeness. Did you know that in the Amplified Bible, that the word perfection, they add onto it that it's whole, mature, and complete. Mm. So it doesn't mean that we're not making any mistakes. It actually does mean that we're whole. The line I used this last weekend is, nobody needs my perfection. Everybody needs God's power. Oh, and it's when share.
Whoa. Say it again. Preach, Amy Carroll, preach.
Nobody needs my perfection. They all need God's power. And God's power, 2 Corinthians, flows into our weakness. I've coined a little term that I call Him perfection.
I love
that. And it's
that.
Our weakness combined with God's power.
Oh. That is so good. And I know I've said this before, but I have come to recognize that I can be completely wrong and still be all right. And I think that's one of the hardest things for a recovering perfectionist to realize, is that it's actually in the midst of the mess that we are real. We finally are recognizing that we're human and that God can do His work. I had an experience yesterday. I'm also playing around with trying to figure out boundaries, and I was trying to figure out what a bunch of people would want, and I was making assumptions about them, and I was trying to predict, and it was several people with very different personalities. And it finally hit me, Sherry, you're playing God again. How about you play Sherry? And how about this version of Sherry actually goes and asks people what they want and need? And it was like, oh, I'm incomplete here. I have incomplete information. It was an example of brokenness, but it was me recognizing I'm finite. I don't know. I don't have the perfect answer. So how about I just admit it and get the input from others? And they all laughed at me because I told them that. I said, I'm calling because I was pretending to be God, and I think I'm just going to be Sherry. So could you just be straight with me? And it was hysterical. It was great because I quit trying to be the know-it-all. I quit trying to come up with the perfect decision all by myself. And it was so freeing. And it was one of those situations that didn't involve sin or anything like that. But I was like, wow, how much easier would life be if I quit trying so hard to be the one, as if it's all up to me? It's not. It's so nice.
Yeah. Well, and all up to me implies no boundaries, right?
Yes.
So Paul, I love also, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about having boundaries on our calling.
Ooh.
And he says, this is what I am called to do in this situation and no more. Well, that is so beautiful. Like, if we have some fences around our calling, around what does it look like to walk it out, there's some boundaries to that. That means that we don't have to do it all. And it also means that we shouldn't be looking at anybody else thinking that, you know, my fenced in area, my little part of the kingdom, should look just like her little part of the kingdom.
Okay, Amy Carroll, you don't need to get so personal here. Come on now. How did you know I was looking on Facebook going, why is she writing that book? I could have written that book. Never mind. I had never thought about that topic in my entire life.
I love it. I love it. Don't we all do it, though, from shoes, like something
shoes.
That silly? Because, gosh, I don't want to wear flats this weekend when everybody else probably is going to be wearing heels. How ridiculous. But anyway, but to a book or to the way her kids behave or the way, you know, I mean, it's just endless. If we don't have boundaries around our calling and recognize what those boundaries are, the psalm that says, my boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places.
Ugh.
Rejoice in them and embrace them and be thankful for those boundaries instead of always pushing past them. You know, one of the things you said to Tricia was like, you kind of listed all the stuff she does, you know, and it is absolutely incredible. But I think I might have said this on this podcast before, but I heard a speaker several years ago. She said, you know, when we get to heaven, I'll walk up to Jesus and I've spoken in front of stadium, in front of thousands, but I will get the same greeting as the woman who obediently led the Bible study to five in her living room does. And it's, well done, good and faithful servant. And that, just talk about freeing. It's the same. As long as we're obedient, Jesus sees it all the same.
Well, and one of the things I love that she pointed out was that there are different seasons for different things, and that we don't have to do everything all in the same season. And she pointed out that all the things she's done were over an almost 30-year period. So they feel like, as a reader, you kind of get hit with all of this amazingness. And, you know, she was so clear, all of this amazingness is God, not her. It's the result of her obeying God's call on her life regularly. But, you know, I spent some time in direct sales, and I was a go-getter, and I was very competitive, and I got a lot of awards and earned the incentive trips. But I look back on that entire season of my life. It was a decade. And what I did wasn't wrong, but my timing was wrong. The impact on my kids, the impact on my marriage, I was gone a lot. And if I could go back to my younger self, I would say, let's find ways to, because I do, I have this entrepreneurial spirit. I didn't recognize that about myself, but I do. It's in there. And then there's a certain kind of leadership. And I wish I had found ways to channel those that matched the season I was in. I was doing such big, exhausting things that I had so little capacity left for my family at a time when I don't think I should have done nothing. I think that would have squelched me. I would have like exploded, and that would have been bad for my family. But there could have been smaller things that wouldn't have taken me so far from home.
Sure.
That ranking from 1 to 4 system that her husband shared.
Fantastic.
If you haven't heard that episode, you need to go back and listen to it, because it was so logical and so reasonable. And I'm like, I need to do that with my life right now. And I don't have kids at home. I love the focus on, is this the season? And that's just another way of putting the, like you said, boundaries and recognizing it may be a good thing, but not for right now. It may be a little further on down the road. Well, you've shared a lot of great scriptures already in this episode. I'm loving them. What's the scripture that you picked specifically for this episode?
James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And I think that was really the essence of what Trisha was sharing with us, that we're not supposed to be just hearers of the word. You know, one of my pastors, I met with him, is a new pastor in our church, and he's our discipleship pastor. And he said, let's think about, Amy, the typical Christian woman's week, like a good Christian woman, you know, in quotation marks, that's involved in her church. He goes, so on Sunday morning, you go and you hear a sermon on one set of scriptures. And then you go to Sunday school and you hear a lesson on another set of scriptures. And then at home, you're probably doing your own study on another set of scriptures. And if you're really spiritual, you go to a women's Bible study too, and you're doing a study on another set of scriptures. He goes, Amy, think about that. Nobody can live that out, and they don't. And I was like, wow. I mean, what a picture of how we inundate ourselves with knowledge, and there's so little walking it out. And that's what Trisha's really challenging us with.
I love that amount of empathy in his approach, because I'd never thought of it that way. Please tell him thank you from me.
Absolutely.
All right. So then what's the bad rule for these episodes?
I actually think we're reusing this bad rule.
That's fine.
It's okay.
We probably need to break it again.
I guess that's it. If I can't do it at all perfectly, I shouldn't do it at all. And I think that's what shuts us down so much.
Absolutely. So what's the truth, the fact we can focus on instead?
Get out there and engage with your world. Take the truth into the world.
Walk it out. I love it. So where do you see grit fitting into all of this?
Well, for me, it takes grit to fight the inertia and get going. You know, there's just something about the first step towards something. And Trisha talked a little bit about that. That's so difficult. So how about you? What's the grace factor?
You know what I loved? And she modeled it without even knowing it. When she said that before our podcast, she had taken 10 minutes to just kind of get herself in the right frame of mind, I just admired that intentionality. And it was just 10 minutes. It wasn't hours. And it wasn't, oh, I don't have time to do it perfectly, so I won't. I'll just fly to the podcast and see what comes out of my mouth. It was 10 minutes. I think in terms of the bad rule, if you can't do it perfectly, don't do it at all. The grace in this is that often doing it well, being able to engage, takes very little. 10 minutes. The next step. And then trusting that God is going to reveal the next thing.
Terrific.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode88.
There you'll find this week's transcript, a Digging Deeper download, Bible verse art, and a chance to win a giveaway of Trisha's book, Walk It Out.
Have you gotten your free permission slips to remind you to break bad rules? If not, they're our gift to our subscribers. Just go on over to gritandgracegirls.com and sign up for our email list.
And don't forget to join us next week for our interview with Tracy Miles, author of Unsinkable Faith.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and
break it.
So, you know how your book is about breaking up with perfect? I think I've overbroken up with perfect because as I was looking at the clock, I was like, I'm hungry, but I'm about to podcast. And I actually considered bringing my breakfast and eating it while podcasting.
You should just do it.
I am. It's right here. I'm like, I remember in the days when I was like, okay, is the entire house quiet? Do I look good? Do I smell good? Am I 15 minutes early? Is everything set up? Is it all working perfectly? And now I'm like sitting here going chomp, chomp, chomp. I'm like, I'll just edit out anything that sounds too bad.
Exactly. I love it.